Need a new set of optics? For more than a decade, Riton Optics has been providing optic solutions for hunters and shooters of all types and disciplines. Check out their Primal line for those products geared more towards us hunters. From binoculars and spotting scopes to your basic 3-9 scopes and longer range crossover models, the Primal line from Riton was made for hunters. Learn more at RitonOptics.com. That's Riton, R-I-T-O-N, Optics.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Where to Hunt podcast. It's okay.
Hi, I'm Dan Small, host of Outdoor Wisconsin, and I listen to Where to Hunt.
Nah, it's okay.
I'm Kurt Geyer with Working Class Bow Hunter. I listen to Where to Hunt podcast, and it's decent.
It's all right.
Hey, this is Bud Fisher with Catching Deers, and I think the Where to Hunt podcast is
all right.
Hey, what up, everybody? Welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts, a.k.a. the OKest podcast in the Midwest. Coming at you from the OKest Hunter podcast studio, brought to you by OKestHunter.com. Make sure to head on over to OKestHunter.com. Use code W2HPODCAST for 10% off. Booyakasha, save yourself some cash money. What are you pointing at, big shooter?
Oh, I got a buddy that just texted in, my buddy Chris. He checks us out from time to time, so we appreciate it, Chris.
What's up, Chris? Welcome to the show, the live broadcast show, every Tuesday night at 6-ish.
Ish.
Because we're having...
Provided we don't screw up the technology.
No doubt. Woo! Anyway, let's get into some ads, and we don't even know what the we're talking about today because I've been too focused on the tech stuff, but we'll figure it out. It's all good.
We'll wander aimlessly.
That's right. Here's one.
Whether you're at work, in a tree stand, or simply waking up, it's important to be alert. And there's no better way to get there than with Backwoods Grind Coffee. Ground fresh for every order, delivered straight to your door. Backwoods Grind Coffee.
Nice. Backwoods Grind. Head on over to backwoodsgrind.com and enter in code W2HPODCAST for 10% off. I know a lot of people have been using that code over the last, 2 years? I think they've been with us. Go get yourself a bag, man. It is good. Oh, it smells great. Okay, Spartan Forge, one of our most exciting new partners, newish now, I suppose. They've been with us for a little over 3 months. Go to SpartanForge.ai, enter in code W2H for 20% off, and they're releasing new features, and when they do that, their price is going to go up a little bit. They have to cover their cost to bake this new stuff in, so like you need to get over there and use the code as soon as possible because they're adding new stuff every day. It's they got a great team, smart folks, and if you don't know what it is, it's an AI platform that uses machine learning and millions of data points to help predict when a deer is going to be on hoof and how it's going to navigate or negotiate a certain piece of terrain. So that's just going to get stronger and bigger and better as it goes. You might want to jump on there while the getting's good.
I just logged on to it, actually, and got an account and got in there, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it shows you everything from weather, past and present. It shows wind direction, all the cool stuff. And like you said, there's more stuff coming for it, so it'll be interesting to watch it grow. I had a little bit of a conversation with the owner about what's coming, and should be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, I'm glad that you got to talk to him. And then also Flea Farm. Look, we are so happy to carry their flag. For me, it's a very local store. I know, Greg, every time you come out this way, I think I call you after that fact, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm at Flea Farm. It's like
animal food. When you own have animals, a small zoo, you have to feed them.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad place to go.
You call it the man mall. I like that term. I mean, you can get your gas there. You can get your hunting tags there. fishing. Ice fishing is in season right now. Still, the ice is thick. There's a lot of stuff you can get there. They got everything. We had a buddy up from Iowa this last weekend, and he stopped in there, and he's like, whoa, dude, this place is huge. Are they all this big? And I think most of the new format stores are certainly that big. We're out of Oconomowoc, and we got one of the fancier new ones, and it's nice. It's nice to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we get diapers there, too. Replace the Kmart that was in town. Kmart. Woof. Anyway, you can use code W2H10 for 10% off if you want to buy online for in-store pickup or have it delivered to your doorstep, whatever you're into. And, you know, I got to do my shout-out, man. I'm drinking some bourbon tonight. It's been a long day. Daddy daycare was in full effect. So juggling that and work. Whew. I'm glad to be podcasting. It's been a hell of a day. A hell of a day.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, sir. I would say, what are you trying to make rhymes over there? Ryan McRhymester?
You funny guy. So what else? What else is new?
No major announcements on the show. But there is a compelling reason for us not to elk hunt this year, unfortunately. And we'll make the announcement later on at some point. It's nothing. There's no drama. It's just, it's good news. It's just something that, you know, is what it is. So that's got the kibosh on it. We did like narrow in like some units and some campsites, and we were starting to like dig in more, but we're just gonna have to pump the brakes. But it might be a good time for us to stock up on stuff that we're gonna buy anyways, you know.
Right. Maybe clean up your Christmas and birthday wish list a little bit there.
It's a good idea. Birthday's right around the corner, actually. Sadly, depressingly, gonna be 35.
Ugh. You're still a young pup.
That's true. I don't know, man, not as young as I once was. So I don't know, that's newish. What did I got most of my venison back now. I have one more deer to go pick up. I go pick up my doe from Outdoor Addiction Taxidermy. I have all my, like, I actually got some venison hot dogs too.
Okay,
so that's on this deer coming up. I'm excited to try that. I got venison brats. I got all sorts of fun stuff, man.
Cool.
We're eating like kings over here. What about you? What's new over there?
Nothing new. Another busy day at work. Plenty of stuff going on there. This is the last weekend coming up, the last weekend for Wisconsin, at least in our area, this kind of lower southern part of Wisconsin. It's the last weekend to go out and try and kill one more deer or two more deer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy with one more. I'm not too greedy, but a doe or a buck for that matter. So it's time. It's time to get it done. No more messing around. I know where they're moving to. Of course, I knew that a week ago. I didn't do any hunting this past weekend. Didn't have time. So I'm going to try and get something done this weekend.
Well, this is it then, right? This is it's the final countdown. I don't have that sound effect.
I've got a public land doe tag and some private land doe tags yet, and I still have my buck tag in my pocket. So lots of venison to be made, I guess.
Well, what I don't mean, like, there's a lot we could dive into here, dude. I feel like I'm waiting for the season to officially end before I go out and do any sort of next season reconnaissance. I know that's kind of like, you know, a cop out or something, but I guess I want to look for sheds, you know, and I want to look for sheds in a couple areas. One of the areas where I got the buck that I got, because I'm pretty sure there's bigger ones there. So I want to tromp around there a bit. And then I want to look at some of the other areas that I took a canoe to with my buddy Joel mid-season, where we saw a giant, just an absolute giant in an oxbow.
Sure.
I think it'd be
that
fun to...
That giant may or may not still be using that oxbow. I mean, he may have moved closer to the food, and mm-hmm. he may drop a shed somewhere, you know, on an ag field on private.
Right.
But you just don't know. But now is a good time, or the next few weeks, you know, into February, typically right around Valentine's Day is when around here they start dumping horns. I mean, I've seen deer missing horns earlier than that, you know, as early as January. But now that we have snow on the ground, I mean, this is no big mystery or no big secret. What else shows up with the snow on the ground? The tracks, the trails,
tracks,
the well-worn areas.
Yep.
So you're going to be able to see going to and from bedding where they're going, where they're headed, where they're coming from. Bucks, I don't know. I'm struggling with bucks right now, but I know where there's plenty of does to go hunt. So that's what I'm going to go with. The cameras I do have out, the bucks are definitely back together in groups. But the area that I have the cameras in, and of course they could have walked behind the cameras at another place, you know, and not even known it. But they're showing up between 9 o'clock at night and 2 a.m. It's really not ideal. You know, it's definitely not a situation where I know they're going to be there at that time or at a time where I can go hunt them. So they're using that area. Of course, there's other pressure going on in that spot too. There's a guy coyote trapping on the private right there. So, and if a guy's coyote trapping, he's checking his traps daily. You know, he's not going to leave a coyote in a set all night long. You know, he's checking them every morning, early in the morning, and then coming back the same time the next day. So that's a lot of pressure on that piece of property. And it shows because the deer aren't really using it. There's not a lot of fresh sign going to it. It's all going to the other side of the public where there isn't any pressure other than maybe they're going out and spreading manure or an occasional rabbit hunt or something.
Yeah, what else is – I mean, there's a lot to do right now. I mean, there's
we just got 6 inches of fresh snow, mm-hmm. so that means the snowmobile trails are open. People are always out cross-country skiing or they're snowshoeing, which is great. It's awesome to see that. Pheasant season closed, but you have rabbit season that goes into March, I believe, and some squirrel hunting going on yet. That'll close here soon. So you got small game hunting, and not everybody's going to be going back into some of these places to chase rabbits.
No, sure. But then there's coyote trapping and coyote hunting too, which, you know, I think this is a good time for it, if I'm not mistaken. You go out at night on a full moon and you got lots of light and you set up a predator call.
I used to hunt coyotes a while back, and we always went at night, and we had a Johnny Morris caller or whatever, so it had a repeating rabbit squeal, and we'd hunt at night and shotguns and rifles. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, we came close to getting a few dogs, but never really scored on them. We weren't that good. Mm-hmm. But we had fun. It was fun to experience it and, you know, see the dogs come in, work the call. And, it, you know, like clockwork, just like a deer, they hear a noise. They're always on high alert. They're going to go check it out. And they circle right downwind of you, and they're right there. And if you happen to be the guy with a shotgun in hand and they only close the distance to 60, 70 yards, you're not going to get them with a 12-gauge shotgun and triple odd buck. It's just not happening. So, but you live and you learn, or if that's the only weapon you have, that's just the way it is.
Right. I want to go coyote hunting, so if there's a time for us to pull, maybe not an all-nighter, but a late evening or something, I'd love to do it. And actually, Sam would like to go too. He's been asking me for years to take him. I'm like, dude, but I don't know what to do. Like, I can't be the one to take you. I have someone take both of us.
Well, I don't have the electronic caller. I have mouth calls and stuff. I got those for Christmas a year. And
I got a Bluetooth speaker and a cell phone. I'm sure we could get some predator calling.
I don't know how legal that is, but I can tell you that I can scare the hell out of my mother-in-law with my mouth calls pretty good.
So you just imitate what, like a dying rabbit or something like that? Like
dying rabbit, and then squeak. I also have a coyote hauler. That I can, you know, I can howl like a coyote.
You can, just like the owl thing.
It's just a call. It's not. No, I'm not that good. I don't think I'm that good.
All right. I read the owl book to my daughter again today. She loves that book.
Okay.
So I gotta probably take her out to look for owls again, even though I have no idea what I'm doing with that either. Like everything mm-hmm. else in life. So yeah, small game hunting, coyote hunting, ice fishing is big. I mean, snowmobile. There's a lot to do. Cross country skiing, snowshoeing.
Yeah, there's
plenty to do, man. Especially, I don't know. I just wonder what everyone's doing. Like deer season, everyone kind of dropped off. People are checked out.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is an excellent time if you don't want to deal with a lot of people pressure and stuff. I mean, a couple of areas that I'm hunting, they're pressured still. I was finding fresh boot tracks all over in some of the public, and you and I both know why, because of a certain deer that's around there, and everybody else knows about it. So it, the pressure's on in that spot. So I kind of pulled away from there, and I'm hunting another spot where not many people at all, other than maybe one person, might be going in there. But fishing's here. I mean, people have been all over my lake over here, in every little bay and nook and cranny they can get to. I mean, every place that we have a park, it's parked full of people. And by any means necessary, they're out on the ice. If it's a four-wheeler, walking, snowmobile, they're there. So they're basically going out until they can't find safe ice, and then they just fill in. It's pretty crazy how many people hit the lake. There's a ton of them.
I think it's the first time I've ever seen a YouTube comment come through, but from Tom. He just said he went out bow hunting last Saturday. He plans to go again this weekend. I'm assuming that means maybe you're in Wisconsin. He had a mink come in to the base of his tree with a little coaxing. How do you coax a mink in, for the record? And, like, how cool is that? I've never seen a mink in the wild. It's like a ferret, right?
You probably just squeak at him like a mouse, you know, just like you would for a coyote or a fox to get him closer. And they're pretty, pretty curious. I mean, they're predators too, so.
Hmm. Yeah, I suppose they hear a mouse. They're like, and they're not as smart as, like, you know, a coyote or something, right? They, little tiny brains.
Right.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, they're neat critters to watch.
I'd have to do a double take. I'd be like, whoa, what the hell is that? Yeah.
Well, in the one spot where you and I hunted, I mean, look, I saw a weasel running around. And a few years ago, I had a mink running around in there, too, but there was a lot more water in there. So it's very possible to see mink. You know, we always see coons, and we always see possums out there.
Yep, I've seen raccoons, I've seen possums. Honestly, like, I never thought I'd see so many rabbits in the freaking swamp. I'm like, what the hell are you doing all the way out here?
Swampers, man.
Yeah, I was...
And they're not small rabbits either. They're good-sized rabbits.
Big fuckers. What's the craziest thing you've seen in the woods?
Craziest thing
I've seen? Or coolest, or whatever. Like, rarest?
I can't say I saw it, but the crazy experience I had was... In the same day, I walked to my stand. This is when I hunted the Northwoods up in Burnett County. We had just gotten like 2 inches of snow. It dropped real cold. I walked in to my stand. It set it up or whatever and walked in on public. There was some paper company land up there. And I shot a buck that morning. Got out of the stand to go back to the truck and warm up after I shot my buck. And on my way back through, I hit the logging path, and there was a fresh set of bear tracks right through my boot prints.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah. So from there, made it back to the truck. I think I grabbed a sandwich, warmed up, and then went back out, dressed up my buck, and then started hauling it back to the truck. I ended up shooting another buck that night. And after I shot that buck, I heard wolves howling.
Where were you again?
What's that?
Where were you again?
Burnett County.
Burnett. Where is that?
That is like right. Yeah. So
there.
Here we
put
go.
Put it over your face.
Door County, Minnesota, Douglas County, Burnett County. Right here.
The northwest. Yeah,
Burnett County.
That's up there. Right, yeah.
Right off the St. Croix River. Okay. Yellow River runs through there, right below Lake Superior, not far from the Mississippi. Minnesota's a few minutes away. So, beautiful country. In fact, that's where the old world record whitetail was shot, the Jordan buck. James Jordan buck from 1918. So, but loaded with timber wolves, lots of black bear up there. Mm-hmm. And then, no joke, a year after, actually, I take that back. It was the same year I shot those two bucks. 2 months later, the DNR tracked a mountain lion there. They tried tranquilizing it right into that same hunting grounds, and it got away on them.
Wow.
Yeah. So there is plenty of predators up there And it's nothing to go up and run into a few coyotes while you're in there too. So
yeah. I think, that's probably not like that's a crazy thing to see, but I think I've had the closest encounter I've ever had with a wild animal this past season. I was sitting on the ground and a coyote, I mean, honestly, he would have taken a couple more steps. I could have pet the little thing, you know?
Yeah.
He was one of those, he turned around a tree and saw me and I saw him and I was like, you're not a deer. And he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And he just took off running. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
My wife's like, oh my God, pulling back one of them.
What's that? Yeah, I guess so. But that happened super fast and he was gone. I was like, whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and even some of the stuff like, you know, where I took you, those dogs will sneak up right on you. I mean, you don't even know they're there until they're right at the base of the tree or they're coming close.
Yeah, they're quieter than the deer.
Yeah, they're very quiet. And my cousin's, it was funny, we were driving that piece and he heard it, or he didn't hear it. He actually, it like came out of the grass at him, and I never heard him scream so loud in my life. I mean, scream like a girl. And we're all laughing at him. We're like, well, what the hell's your problem? I don't know what that was, but it just scared the living hell out of me. And my cousin's pretty tall dude.
Okay.
And he's as tall as you, if not taller.
Okay.
And I'm like, a big guy like you can make a scream that loud? It's kind of funny. So
I've screamed that loud for like, I think a horsefly bit me once. Or like a spider that I've seen. I don't like all those bugs, dude. Bill Thompson, what's going on? The Bill Thompson of Spartan Forge.
Yep, Mr. Thompson. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Presence. Bill, if you want to scroll back up to the top of the comments, you can click on the link and see if you want to hop in here with us on video. You'd be our first guinea pig. We've not had another guest on video yet, so we're trying this out.
You know what's cool? I'm seeing Tom DeCray on here, and he's not far from us at all.
I was just asking. He said about 3 miles east of Whale Tails, between Dustin and Delfield. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. I'm in Oconomowoc. You're in, where the hell are you? Lake Mills?
Yeah, I'm in Lake Mills. So right between Dustin and Delfield, Tom is. So maybe we'll have to hook up with Tom sometime down at Whale Tails and go shoot and have a beverage or something.
Heck yeah. That's pretty neat. I lost my train of thought. I still didn't figure out how to get your name on the screen.
Oh, I think they know who I am.
But I feel like I should have the ability to change that for you.
Change my name? Change my alias?
Yeah. Do you want to just steal the whole show? Look at this. Oh, I'll just stop messing around too much because this is going to be a full podcast. I'm excited to get my deer back from Outdoor Addiction. I'm like...
It's cool. You know, I've had plenty of deer... I've shot plenty of deer in my time, I guess. I mean, not as many as some people, I'm sure, but never shot anything big until I shot this one. And this thing's no monster, but it was exciting.
It's a respectable buck.
Yeah.
You had it in the studio for a while, and you took it back home like an asshole. Just kidding. It deserves to be in your house, not in my house. But it was cool to have it here. I felt like my kids loved it. The dogs stared at it. Like, everyone cherished it. And now it's thinking, someday I'll have my own buck. And here we are, soon enough.
Yeah, here you are. You're going to have your own. Mm-hmm. The dog missed it.
Jeff, you shot a deer? Well, yeah, Greg shot two deer. I shot two deer too, but only one with my bow.
Yeah, you got one with the gun and one with the bow. And I got two with the bow. And I really screwed up bad on shooting a monster with gun. I should have brought my shotgun instead of my rifle. So it was a mistake on my part.
Yep. Well, live and learn. Even the great Craig Tubbs makes mistakes. Jeff, do you want to pop on the video with us?
Jeff's afraid.
I'm just dying for someone to test this out with me.
Jeff's keyboard warrior. He just likes to poke at you and then run away and hide.
Jump in here, Jeff. Come on.
Run away, little man. Run away.
Those are fighting words.
So Tom lives in Jefferson.
That's awesome.
Not far away.
I didn't know anybody watches on YouTube, Todd. Thanks. I think you're the first person I've ever like been aware of. I'm sure there's people, but it's like...
Jeff usually watches on YouTube.
Yeah, I think he said he watches on his TV because you can pull up, you know, YouTube on your TV, right? And
yeah, he can count all your beard hairs that way.
Ew, gross. I don't know why you'd want to watch us on a TV. It's kind of awkward. There's nothing like, special going on here. But there's a lot of neat stuff that I can do with this platform, so I'm excited. So I guess for those listening, because this will be in podcast land... You know, we go live Tuesday nights. It used to be 7 o'clock. We change it to 6, and now I'm changing to 6-ish because inevitably I seem to run into some snag or problem. But that being said, we now have the ability for you to video conference in with us. So if you want to jump in the show on video, you can. Or you can call on the show, 262-757-4122, and chat with us that way. So now we have two methods for you to actually talk with us. Ask us questions, share stories. If you prank us, it will be a problem for you. I promise, don't do it.
Don't do it. You think about it, but don't do it.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. The new looks, I threw this together in like the 4 minutes before we went live. I have to still, now that I know what the dimensions are, I have to actually make it look nice. But this was me just tossing it together. There's a lot of options. I can do quite a bit of stuff that comes like pre-baked, but you know, then I won't have all the branding. And I'll need to get an updated logo from Spartan Forge because this one doesn't look, I want a white one probably, or a black one. So I'll have to either make it myself for you or get it from you. Anyway, so yeah, the new look is good. I like to, but just got in the door with my little one. Yep, so I totally get it. This is like bedtime, bath time, dinner time. Everyone's got shit going on, so I get it.
Yep. Tom just says he gets a YouTube notification whenever we go live. He likes us that much. Tom, we appreciate you more than you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I might have him, but I got this new computer, Bill, so I don't know if I, you know, got him on this one. I don't think so. Call a number or how do I join? So
call number on the video.
No, timeout. Right? Timeout. Jeff, if you want to join in video, just scroll to the top of the comments. I dropped a link there. It's the first comment in the comments. It looks like you're on Facebook, so just jump in there and click, and then you should pop in here. If you wanted to call, you can still call the number on the screen, but let's try the video. You all went all set? Not yet. It's happening, Cody. We're going set. I'm going saddle. I'm not
You're
doing a tree
saddle.
Stand again.
I'm not making any commitments yet.
You saw, Greg, when we made some video footage for OKS Hunter this weekend, it was no joke, me trying to stack those sticks.
That
was real life.
I don't know if that even made the light of day yet. I'm hoping somebody got a lot of footage of that because it was like watching a monkey doing a math problem while passing a kidney stone. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how you got the straps around the sticks the way you did, but I know why it takes you so long to get them apart. We'll have a little how-to later on how to stack sticks and wrap the straps. I'll show you my way. Maybe you'll use it. Maybe you won't. It might save you some time and some hassle.
You know, I'll take it a step further, and I'm going to label those MFers with bottom, middle, top.
You'll have them color coordinated.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. Like, so I know, because if you don't get that first one right, then it's, and I know there's a strap, so you can maybe, but then like the placement gets all goofed up. And I think there's obviously the newer ones that like the Lone Wolf guys, so the custom gear, Lone Wolf custom gear guys have are like really good, but you don't see the link. What? It's right there. I'll reshare it. Hold on. But yeah, I like struggle. Did that work? Did it go? Did I do it? Sorry for those listening. I'm just playing around this new technology here. Jeff, try that and see if that works. I mean, Greg figured it out, so I mean, yeah, he wants to make fun of me for stacking sticks. Let's see Greg try to use a computer. He did it, though. Here he is.
You might be surprised.
Yeah.
So Bill just said he took out a small loan to get the new B stand.
Oh, he did. Pot committed. Look at that.
Yep. It ain't cheap.
I would love that, honestly, but yeah, I that's a chunk of change, man. And it's just not that much lighter for me, but I would like the system aspect of it is what I think I would appreciate. Not like just the individual stand, but I would want the whole system.
Yeah, it's the system. I mean, between the Beast stuff and the custom Lone Wolf custom gear stuff, no offense to Beast guys, but the custom gear stuff stacks together nicer. I mean, I've seen the way the B stuff stacks, and it works. It's not much different mm-hmm. than the way the old Lone Wolf stuff does stack together. To each his own. At the end of the day, we're all hunting. We're all getting out. We're all got some cool gear that we're comfortable with, and that's really what it's all about. So, no hate from anybody. It's good to see people getting out and getting into the mobile game. Oh, I mean, I've enjoyed it for a while now, and I don't know, I can't hunt any other way. I can't go to the same spot over and over and over again.
No. No,
saddle's definitely the ultimate when it comes to weight reduction and less shit hanging off of you. But, you know, I'm still more partial to the stand. Not saying I won't try a saddle, though.
I don't mean to hate on a stand. I don't like feeling like a turtle. That's the big thing.
It's a lot of extra shit, you know.
But then, even with a saddle, you still have to have sticks. So then I'm going to have to find a way to, like, backpack those out or deal with that. You know, it's still not like you have nothing.
It's not hard.
Will's chatting at you here.
Bill is asking.
Get alone. Yeah,
and you know what sucks is the logo, the Where to Hunt logo, is blocking part of it on my screen. I'm assuming he's asking what Lone Wolf stand do I have.
Mm-hmm.
I actually own two of them. So I own the Assault and I own the Alpha. The Alpha was the first one I bought because I was doing more gun hunting. I didn't have a lot of time to bow hunt. But I was going up north and I needed a mobile stand and I wanted a system that would work. And when you're up north, it's colder, you're wearing bigger boots, so the bigger platform is nice. It's just a stability factor. I went with the Alpha. And I hunted with the Alpha and I killed a lot of deer out of the Alpha. I bow hunted out of the Alpha up until this year. Then I got that used Assault and it's a smaller platform. The whole silhouette is smaller. So it's less metal hanging behind you. It is a few pounds lighter. I'm still running the same Lone Wolf sticks. They work. Are they the best? No. Look at the head on that guy. Holy smokes. Smile, you're on camera.
It worked.
Yeah.
I saw you hanging out there. I was waiting for Greg to finish his thought, but then I just interrupted him with your picture.
Hey, I can give Shiny Thing Syndrome too. So
Jeff figured out how to put his name on the screen.
You don't need my name.
There it is.
I'm a nobody.
You're nobody from nowhere, Bill.
You're somebody.
You're somebody to someone.
Tune in. You're getting your deer head back now?
No. But I'm getting it back at some point soon ish. I mean, 6 months from November 4th is the range they gave me. So I think, I don't know how to do math, but that I feel like that's like May.
Could be. That's good.
We'll see. I mean,
good
I know
that you're not waiting. Like
I know, Alex. I'll have to just like badger him a bit. Like, hey. Not like that I'm important. I paid as much as everybody else did. So, like, get in line, effer.
So yeah. What's new, Jeff?
If I have to leave soon, it's because we're planning out our mule deer hunt. So
I'm jealous.
That's the
man.
New thing.
Take me with. Pack me in a case somewhere. I'll crawl in there with your rifle. I don't care.
Hopefully it can happen and no COVID things screw this hunt up. But, yeah, we're going to try to go out and chase muleys in Montana next fall. So
wait, Montana, I thought you were going to go to Wyoming. Okay.
Going to say.
Montana, Wyoming, same thing.
Pretty much.
There's a stark difference there in critter quality. I'm just going to say that. And not because I've been there and done it. I know a few people that have, but just seeing the quality of deer, like Montana, awesome whitetail state, like way underrated.
Right.
The tag is ridiculously expensive, but all three of us could go over there and buy a tag. It's like $600 on a deer. And that gives you a chance at either a mule deer or a whitetail. Mule deer aren't as big in Montana, like antler wise, as they are in Wyoming. I don't know why, but it just.
Something genetic, probably.
Yeah. Or I don't know. I'm not
we'll
sure.
We'll have to tell our friends.
But I want to go. I want to go kill a mule deer in the worst way. I don't care if it's with a rifle or a ball.
Yeah, we're going to go with the gun. Jameson, my son, he's coming with us. So we're going to do it over their teacher's convention. So hopefully we can get it done in a small window of time. Otherwise, we'll have to go back later in the year because that season is open for quite a while.
Yeah, you got to watch the seasons. I know that.
Yeah, it's more than the traditional like Wisconsin 9-day gun season. It's, I want to say, like a month long.
Sure.
So that'll be nice if we got to go back for another trip, but it'll be a little road trip and get out of town and see some different country and try some different tactics and things like that. So
we're going to have to tell the boys at Pulling Feathers that you're on your way.
Yeah.
Levi and JD, dude, they were gonna like hook us up with some stuff. They're the ones that their horse fell off the side of a mountain.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
That would wreck my day if that happened.
Well, I'm pretty sure it wrecked their day, and that's one of those where you kind of question maybe we shouldn't go with these guys after all.
Right. It was one of my favorite, most memorable hunt stories I've ever heard.
Damn, my horse fell off the side of a mountain.
They just mentioned it so casually, too. Like, oh, yeah, and then the horse fell off the side of a mountain. Whoa, 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 we got to back up. What do you mean your horse fell off the side of a freaking mountain?
What
happened
there? Did it die?
What the hell were you doing that you drove your horse off
the horse was, like, sick. It had, like, a stomach problem. So, like, just keeled over and then, like, rolled one more time and down it went and all their gear along with it. And then they, like, got the horse out of the woods and back to the – he's like, no, I'm not paying for this freaking horse. It was, like, a rental horse from this lady. And then on a totally different podcast episode, we talked to someone else from Wyoming, and they're like,
they're
we heard about that story.
Like,
I was like, oh, did you listen to the episode? He's like, no, no, it's a small town. We heard about it. I was like, oh, shit.
Wow. And he walked away from it. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, someone told him to shoot the horse. He's like, I'm not shooting this thing. I'm not paying for it. We're going to drag it back out of the woods.
And quarter it up.
These guys are crazy, man.
They need glue somewhere.
Right.
They're live on their Instagram right now. I just checked them out real quick. Otherwise, I'm sure they'd be in here usually.
Yeah, usually somebody's been here.
Put enough barbecue sauce on it, you won't know the difference.
throw it in the pit boss.
Taco, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Crock pot.
Yeah, crock pot meal.
Yeah, what do we say? The fajitas are like a really good meal to drown out all the gamey flavor if you're not into that. Mm-hmm. All that seasoning you get from that packet.
Yep.
Well, I thought that fancy grill that took care of all of that.
It's been doing a pretty damn good job. I've been liking it. Mm-hmm.
Have you done a turkey in it?
I did a turkey in it for Thanksgiving. I just did ribs for a Packer game.
My phone didn't ring. Did yours, Greg?
No, not at all.
Yeah, go figure. Some people never change.
I keep telling Greg to bring food over here and I can cook it for us. He never does.
See, I have to bring the cuts of meat.
Yep. So one-way road. We got the hint here, Eric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One-way road right to the stomach and out the ass.
Yeah, let me tell you, though, guys, you would be guinea pigs because I really, it's a learning process every time.
Great.
That's funny.
Yeah. We'll go to McDonald's first.
I think the best thing I made out of there was I made my own, like, it came from the Pit Boss website. I just followed their directions, but it was meatballs in a cast iron skillet on the Pit Boss, and I made like meatball marinara subs or something. That's pretty good.
Cool.
What are you cooking up over there, Jeff? I know you know how to flay a pike really well. You catching those through the ice?
We haven't caught any through the ice yet this year. I've been cooking everything on cast iron. That's my thing this fall. So doing steaks inside on the cast iron. It's been good. I can tell a definite difference in when you cook in that in a well-seasoned pan. It really does change the flavor, you know.
How do you taste everything?
Yeah, how do you clean it? Do you just using like water and paper towel on mine?
Most of the time, I just when it's still warm, I'll just take like some table salt and throw the table salt in there, and just take like a rag and grind it around in there, and that gets all of the hard crusty stuff off, and then just wipe it out. And then I've got like a conditioner that I kind of just put on it and wipe it on it so it doesn't rust at all. And that's worked really good.
Oh, that's smart. Because, I think the mine has a little bit of rust. Put some other dish away at some point that had some water in them still or something, then.
Yeah.
I'm like, uh-oh. Well, I mean, what does a cast iron skillet cost? I mean, they're not cheap, but they're not super expensive, right?
You can get a good one for $20. They're not that expensive.
No. Yeah,
it's a good investment.
I know the stuff I've had has like been in our family for a long time, so.
That's the thing. You buy one and it lasts forever. I mean, you can find them at yard sales for cheap.
Right.
Yeah. No soap. Just like.
Just like going into season.
No soap. Just wipe it. Throw some Crisco.
Yep.
It's a weird concept. Holly, she's like, well, don't you have to get some? I'm like, no, don't put any soap on it. Don't do it.
No soap.
Like, just got to dry it off. Just dry it off.
Yeah. You get rid of all that good seasoning right off the bat when you throw soap in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a coarse salt. And like Jeff just said, you work it around with a rag, get the hard crusty stuff off of it, and then heat it up and dry it off, and away you go. Treat the rusty spots when you see them. Mine's got enough oil on it; it doesn't get any rusty spots. I got two of them from my uncle. Oh, the big ones! I think they're 18 inchers. He was going to throw them away. They're lodge ones too.
Yeah.
you're going to throw them away? Oh, yeah, get them out of here. I'm like, okay, these are going home with me. So I got two of them, one I can use up north for fish fries or something, and the other one for bigger stuff here.
Yeah, I think people are just intimidated by it. They just don't understand, like, the cleaning process or getting it, you know, seasoned or else. I know mine were hanging in our hunting tower up north, so they were kind of, you know, all scuzzed up and rusty for years. Yep. And I just took them back here, and I built a great big bonfire, and I chucked them in there for, like, 10 hours.
Jeez.
They got them heated up till they were, like, nice cherry red. Yep. Yeah, that just kind of, like, totally, you know, sterilized everything and got it back to just pure cast iron. And then from there, I could just put flaxseed oil on them and re-season them and put them in there and build up multiple coats of it. And it's worked, you know, great.
Wow. How did you know that that was a way to do that? You don't just, like, well, it was actually, you're probably just really trying to throw it away. You're like, yeah, I'm done with this thing. I throw it in the bonfire. You're probably pissed drunk. And then you're like, hey, look at that. It totally worked.
No, this thing called Google. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
He's a YouTube master.
Oh, that's great. No, that's
a YouTuber that doesn't know Google.
It's the same company. Come on, guys. It's the same company.
You know,
I tell you. That's good to know.
See? You gotta have something to pass the time in the winter months, you know? We're not all like Greg here and just chasing trophy bucks every week until the end of January.
Die hard. We went with him last year, remember that? We went out to that swamp of his and didn't see a damn thing other than...
A lot of action.
You know, but you're loud and you don't know how to break down climbing sticks quietly.
Well, you know, I did it for the video for effect. I was trying to be extra loud.
That's
I don't normally throw
situation.
Them when I'm in the woods.
Dude, you pulled them things out and it was like a barrel of monkeys. They were all tied together and you were fighting with them. It was pretty comical.
Anybody else ever struggle with climbing sticks? I mean, come on. What's up, Elijah? How you doing?
Elijah's on. Still got Bill on with us.
This is just Jeff's a happening place.
Yeah. It is a happening place. Yeah. We got all our
What other podcasts can people just join the party? Look, Elijah, you want to jump on the video? Go for it. The link is here.
A four-way.
Here it
Elijah's
is.
Elijah's been out doing some ice fishing, I saw. He's got piles of perch on the ice and all sorts of cool stuff happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is a party.
Eric, did you hear Jameson got a buck?
What? No, when? Jameson? What do you mean?
My
like
son,
another one?
Yeah. No, he got the one. You heard how that happened, didn't you?
I think so.
I didn't share any details. I left it for Jameson and you.
No, I took him up there, and he had a couple opportunities at a couple giants in Minnesota, and he just didn't feel comfortable shooting as far as he should have. He only shoots a 20 gauge. But I had him in a good rut pinch funnel, and he had a couple come through, and he just didn't want to shoot. They were probably like 90 yards, 80 yards. He didn't want to take the crack at it, and it was the last weekend of their gun season, and we put out two doe decoys out in the bottom of this valley. We were sitting there, and he's on one side of the tree, and I'm on the other side, and I'm just basically his guide at the time, and he was watching his side, and I was watching mine, and he stood up to stretch, and he like looked over at me, and he's like, "Dad, there's a deer standing right in front of you." I didn't even see it. And it was probably like, you know, 90 yards away, and it was moving through the brush and that, and we lost track of it. And he sat back down, and I was sitting there watching. And I said, after like 5 minutes, I said, "Jameson, I said, there's a buck standing right in front of me. I said, get ready." And it had come down the one side of the valley and it stopped. And then at the bottom of the valley, there's a humongous ditch, like 10 feet deep, real steep cut. And the buck was going to boogie out down the bottom of that because it was obviously out cruising around. So I poked Jameson with my elbow. I said, "Get ready." So I grunted at it a couple times and it stopped and it looked around. And Jameson's on the backside of the tree from me with his stand facing that way. And I don't have a gun. I'm just here with him to help him. So this deer then crosses the ditch, gets up on the other side, and the wind is kind of blowing at us like this. And it went down the hill and then it came up the other side of the valley. So it was trying to get downwind of us to find out where this deer was that it supposedly had heard. So once it crawled up on that top of that hill, it was looking down, and we were grunting at it. It was kind of coming along, but then it was getting farther and further away. Well, it got to the top of this hill and it looked down and it locked eyes on the two decoys. And it was like watching a dog holding, if you held your treat out for it. It had, you could just tell, it was licking its lips. It was just like, it couldn't get down there fast enough to see it. So it's coming down the side hill. It would walk like 10 yards, stop. And then it would finally convince itself, okay, I got to go more. And it'd walk another 10, 20 yards, and it'd stop. And its tail was wiggling back and forth. You know, it was a 2.5-year-old, so it's not the smartest one out of all of them. But he, his curiosity was just killing him. So he gets down, and he got down probably about 40 yards from Jameson, and Jameson's got the gun up, so he's got to shoot across the valley. And he had a head-on shot at the thing, and I told Jameson, I said, you can take that shot. I said, just put it right on that front of that brisket and let it fly. Well, as soon as I whispered that to him, the damn thing knew that these were now decoys because it had been like 10 yards from him. So the buck started backing up. And it was going to, you know, mosey out of there. So it started backing up, and it started covering ground, walking away with its butt right towards Jameson. And he's got his shooting sticks in the stand, and he's aiming, and he's watching it. It's going up, and he doesn't have a shot, just at its rear end. And now it's probably like 80, 85, 90 yards. It just keeps going. And it gets probably about 90, and it starts quartering away. And I told Jameson, I said, if that thing keeps quartering like that, I said, you know, take it. Before I even got the word take it out of my mouth, I hear, boom.
And a boy.
And just, you know, my ears are ringing, and this deer, you just see it tear right out of there, you know, and it's snapping trees and everything, and it's up over the top already of the valley. And he goes, I held that sucker right behind the crease on it. He's like, I know I nailed that. I said, just wait. I said, you know, you didn't see it fall. I said, give it like a half hour. He's like, all right, fine. So he's just sitting there shaking in the tree. So, you know, like 5 minutes go by. I'm like, well, you got to wait longer. I can't wait. I can't wait any longer. I know I got this thing. I know I did. I said, no, just let's wait. So I, after a minute later, it was like, Dad, we're getting down now. And I'm like, no, wait. So then he starts unloading his gun. He's then like putting the rope on it, and he starts like lowering it down. He's not waiting for me at all. And he's like getting everything ready, put away. And I'm like, fine, let's go, whatever. So we get down there, and we cross this valley, walk way back up to the other side where it was. And it's real steep bluff country. And we're standing there, I'm like, I swear to God, it was standing right about here. And I said, I'm looking around. I'm like, I see no blood, no nothing. I'm like, hang your hat in the tree. I said, start grid searching, you know. So he takes his hat off and he hangs it in the tree right next to me. And then he looks over to his side and he's like, there's a drop of blood right there. And I was like, oh, that's the trail right next to us. So I said, well, let's walk up that trail. Well, we started walking like 5 feet and there here the thing laid sideways dead on the hill. We couldn't see it.
It was right there.
Yeah, it was right there.
You know, it didn't go as far as you thought.
No, it just went up over the top out of sight and fell over. You know, it was all tangled up in some brush and whatnot. But yeah, he shot up. It was a busted up, you know, 2.5-year-old 8-point. But yeah, he did. He got his buck, so he was happy.
That's awesome.
I didn't get mine, but that was better than almost getting one myself.
Right. So that's cool. Busted up 8 in hill country like that? That's awesome.
Yeah, and he got it with a decoy. So, of course, now he says, "You, Dad, at this rate, I'm going to pass you up in a couple of years."
Like, oh, okay. Oh, he's getting confident.
He's pretty full of himself now. So,
how old is he now? Is he going to be a senior?
No, he'll be he's a freshman this year. So,
What? Why did I think?
He's 14 and he's killed.
14 going on 24. My God.
14 and he's hunted 5 years and he's took 3 bucks. So he's off to a hell of a good start.
Awesome.
Good for him.
So, yeah.
Is he watching tonight? Is he watching the show? I know he watches sometimes.
No, he's out doing homework right now.
You got to do your schoolwork. Yep, it's important. Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll grow up to be like Eric.
That's right. I never did homework.
No. Just wait till homework starts in your house. You'll have the fun times on.
I can wait. I can wait. Although my daughter is 3.5. She acts like she's 13.5. It's like, where did you learn this? How are you? Why are you speaking to me like that?
So who headbutted the wall today? You said something like that happened.
Oh yeah, no, my son headbutted the floor.
Oh.
Yeah. He dropped something and he, you know, it was behind him, so he like, you know, put his head down and then he tried to like look underneath his legs and boom, you know, just like, dude, what are you doing? Yep. You know, he put the Dane in danger, that's for sure.
Nice, I like that.
Yep. Into his name. But thanks for jumping on here, Jeff. This is great. It worked. Look at this.
I'm glad it worked. So you guys,
you're not shy,
night.
So that's nice. So, thanks for doing that.
Kill something.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Squirrel, coyote, all bunny, right. Deer. We'll see what happens.
All right, yeah. Guys. Have a good night. And
thanks,
keep
buddy.
The shiny side up.
All right.
All right. We'll do.
Liar.
That's pretty neat. Great. Look at that, huh? We're trying new stuff, doing new stuff. We're always doing new stuff, man. That's, you know, we're a good duo.
Yeah. And we got some good fans, man. We don't have tons of them, but the ones we have are awesome.
Quality over quantity, man. I'll take it all day for how we do stuff.
Yep.
We like you guys a lot. That's why we do, you know, the giveaway stuff, which, you know, I know I'm like slow to get on that stuff, but it comes. I know Noah got his bow sling from TNK Hunting Gear. He's super jacked.
Cool.
Super jacked. We got everyone hooked up with Spartan Forge memberships for a year for free.
Sweet.
I don't remember everything else, but stuff's been going over the last couple of weeks because, like I said, I just got a lot going on, so it's hard to manage. But man, like, we got to think of the next giveaway for March, and I think that'll be a 1 year mark for the giveaways. We've officially done in March. That'll be our fourth one.
Yeah, we're gonna have to pound the pavement and get some things going for folks.
HHA has been a great partner with that for us.
HHA has been phenomenal. You know, not only do they make an awesome product, but their heart's always in the right place when it comes to doing things for vets. You know, Chris, the owner, is awesome, and he's got great people working for him. So, you know, big shout out to HHA for all they do, you know, not just helping us, but I mean, throughout the deer hunting industry, they do quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
And again, awesome product. I mean, there's other good stuff out there too, but just the fact that HHA is right here.
They're in our backyard.
They're in our backyard.
Yep. We like supporting these local companies.
Yeah.
We support a lot of them. You know, we're still best friends with Vector. You know, still using their arrows. I'm going to continue to use their arrows. I have no desire to do anything different. We've enjoyed the companies that we worked with. You know, Flea Farm, they're in our backyard too. They're headquartered out of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, Spartan Forge, he's not from here, but he's been here.
We've been here
drinking beers together here. Yeah. You know, I had him drink I can't remember what it was, Wisconsinite beer or something, I think it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, I suppose, folks, that'll be a wrap for tonight. You know, I know we didn't have like some major big topic, but we covered some ground. So
yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it's just a nice little BS session to kind of mull around and just small talk. And that's what a lot of podcasts are anyway. So
yep, and I wanted to test out this new platform, so my focus was on the tech side tonight.
Yeah.
Which usually I'm on the content side, but we'll get back on that, and you know, we'll get back on the guest train too. So now that we have this new platform, I can roll guests in a little bit more uniquely, differently, and then we can bring you guys on to talk with them on video too. So like I said, we're always trying to grow and expand and do new things here, and you got to test some stuff out. So we just hit another benchmark here.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Cool. Well, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I don't know.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah, whatever that means.
A little red green for you.
Give us a. I think the people that are still in the room, most people that listen like weekly like this on the live have given us a reviewer rating. But if you haven't, I guess not everyone has an iPhone either.
No.
But if you have iTunes on your computer, you could do it on iTunes. Yeah, I'm missing the inside baseball here, guys. What's the red green?
Bill? Oh my God! You don't know who Red Green is?
No, maybe I do, but I don't know.
PBS, the Red Green Show. Just YouTube Red Green Show.
I've never heard of it.
Oh my God! Is it
because I'm going to be 35? I'm not
even
that young.
There's no excuse. Come on, Harold, get over here.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. The Reading Rainbow PBS.
Yeah, he is Harold.
Okay.
You'd be the Harold of the Red Green Show if you and I did the Red Green Show.
Yeah. I have no clue what you guys are talking about. So somebody out there is laughing at me. I don't
Bill
even know.
Is. Bill knows exactly what's going on.
I know he's laughing. I can hear his laugh through the comments.
And officially you are Harold now.
Judgmental sons of bitches. All right, guys, have a good night. I'm gonna end the live feed. I think that'll be a wrap.
All right.
All right, the tip of the week is brought to you by DeerVein. Head on over to DeerVein.com. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe, set up the alerts, all that good stuff for our friend Anthony Haller over there. He's dropping awesome tips all the time on his social channels, and he does it once a week here on our show too. So we'll let him jump on in just a second to hear what he's got to say. I just want to make sure that everyone actually knows to go follow him, because he puts in a lot of time and effort into helping contribute to our show. So a little cross-pollination there. We appreciate it if you go check him out. I promise it'll be worth your while, by the way. He's got way more valuable tips than I have, so which is why I like that he does this segment. So let's hear what Anthony has to say.
What's up, everyone? Anthony Haller here with DeerVein, and this week's tip of the week revolves around post-season scouting. So right off the bat, when season ends, you know, it kind of gives you the green light to just kind of go wild and go wherever you want to go and go find information that you've been looking for all year. So there's three things that I would highly recommend looking for and focusing your time on. And the first one would be trails, finding where those trails are that you don't know about can really help. And honestly, just getting on them and following them to where they may intersect with other trails. Those intersection points, those kind of, you know, four-way stops or whatever you want to call them, are great places to hunt, great places to put trail cameras to understand movement early morning or evening or anything like that. And just really, the more you understand the trail system throughout your property, the more you can kind of figure out where are those pinch points or where are those points where you can set up, where you can see, you know, all three of those trails within shooting distance. So go find those trails. Two, scrapes. Definitely go find scrapes. It seems like you find all the scrapes on your property, then you go scouting and you find more. I know it's a little hard if you got snow on the ground, but one of the other ways you can do it is look for those broken branches. If you find a good intersection or something like that, you're like, man, there should be a scrape here. You can't see it on the ground. Just look up at the branches, because it's very likely that those branches will be broken, and that'll give you an indication. And it also gives you spots to hunt for next year in the pre-rut, and then places to put your trail camera as well. Last one, bedding. Bedding is something we're always looking for and always trying to understand a little bit better, always trying to stay away from when we're walking to and from our stand, so we're not telling the deer exactly where we are and where we're heading, and you don't want to bump them either. So if you don't know how the bedding lays out on your property, post-season scouting can tell you that. You just go right in there, go walk around, go into those really thick areas where you don't go, where you always bump deer, and find those beds. If you got snow on the ground, it's plain as day, and you'll be able to be like, okay, here's where they bed. And also, don't be tricked by beds that are like on the edges of fields or in the middle of fields or just off of field edge, because 99% of the time that's a nocturnal bed. And you want to get into that really thick stuff. And once you find beds that are further away from the food source, further away from pressure, further away from human trails, those are the beds they're likely using during daytime and ones that you can set on and adjust for during season. All right. Hope it helps, everyone.
All right, that's a wrap. If you made it this far, you're a diehard. We appreciate you a whole bunch. If you are a diehard and you haven't subscribed to our Patreon giveaway stuff yet, you should do that. It's $5 a month. You pay that to Patreon. We take that money and we put it right back into prizes that goes towards the people that have subscribed. And so if you remember, we do a drawing every quarter. So it's every 3 months. Our next one is at the end of March. And we've given away some pretty great prizes. I would say go back and look at the last giveaways we've done. And it's been some pretty big ticket items. So we try to give so everybody wins, really. And if we continue to grow it, there'll be more money to buy more stuff to give to more people. So we try to make it super fair. Anyway, check that out at wheretohuntapp.com, and you can go to our giveaway page and see what that's all about. Additionally, we did launch today a new way to communicate with us. So we've always had the live broadcast. Well, not always, but you know, for like the last almost 2 years, where we broadcast live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, every week on Tuesday. It used to be 7 o'clock. Now it's 6 o'clock PM Central Standard Time. And you can call into the show. We still have the call queue. We still have the phone number 262-757-4122, where you can call in, share stories, ask questions, talk to our guests, etc. But now we also have a way for you to video chat into the live broadcast. So if you are tuning in on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, there will be a link that you can click. If you happen to be around and available around that time slot, you can video in. You can do that from your smartphone or on your computer. So whatever makes sense for you, whatever you have. We're just trying to continue to leverage technology to grow our platform, grow our community, and continue to make this a two-way conversation with the everyday hunter. We are not the experts, and we talk to some people that are experts, you know, to some degree, but we think the collective hunting audience at large shares a wealth of knowledge far greater than any one individual. So we encourage you to reach out to us. We want to hear from you. You can also participate by just commenting while we're doing a live broadcast. You can email us, and you can send us voice memos. So if you, you know, find us on Instagram, there's a link where you can send us a recording. So if maybe you can't be on the live broadcast, but you still want to have a voice on the show, we'll put it into the Produce podcast, which is what you're hearing now. So there's a lot of ways that we encourage you to get involved. That's, you know, the giveaways, the two-way conversation stuff, the video chat, the recorded message, the call-ins. We think that we're doing some pretty neat stuff. So if you like what we're doing, we'd love a rating and review on iTunes. And that's all I got. Have a great day. Have a great week. And hunt public. Oh, shoot. I forgot my, you know, my bow. So I just want to come back here and grab a donut real quick. All right. All right. Have a good night, everybody. If you know what that joke was all about, you're awesome. And if you don't, head on over to okitshunter.com, follow their Instagram, and you'll see what we're talking about.